But if you close your eyes. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with Special Counsel Jack Smith's newly unsealed details on January 6th. Move on to debunking the Trump campaign's lies about Biden and FEMA. And follow all of that up with proof J.D. Vance failed high school civics. Let's begin, shall we? Sometimes just one moment sparks a series of events that seems unrelated on the surface, but upon inspection are the reactions of a tiny-handed Nepo baby who clearly has issues with women. Case in point, the week began with Kamala Harris baiting her opponent for another debate while speaking to approximately 7,500 people in Las Vegas.
I'm trying to debate Donald Trump again, and I think he should debate again. The American people have a right to hear us discuss the issues. And as you say here in Las Vegas, I'm all in. I'm all in. Even if my opponent is ready to fold. So there you go.
Now, we all know why Dunce Cap Donnie does not want to debate Kamala Harris. And it's for a good reason. His crazy old grandpa was so blatantly obvious when he was standing next to a competent and accomplished woman, and no one on his campaign wants a sequel to that disaster. So old Whack Donald is resorted to doing what he does best, besides lying through his denture grip, repeating the plot line to a movie that he just watched as if it would make good additions to his I'm making this shit up as I go along policies for America. Starting with the reimagining of the purge that no one asked for.
If you had one really violent day, like a guy like Mike Kelly, put him in charge, Congressman Kelly, put him in charge for one day. He's a great congressman. Would you say, Mike, that if you were in charge, you would say, oh, please, don't touch them. Don't touch them. Let them rob your store. Let all these stores go out of business, right? They don't pay rent. The city doesn't have money. It's a chain of events that's so bad. One rough hour, and I mean real rough, the word will get out, and it will end immediately. End immediately.
So did he just suggest that crime would be solved by giving cops one night, or at least 1 hour, to do whatever the fuck they want to do? That is the most terrifying suggestion that I've heard in quite a while, and I've been watching a lot of scary movies lately, you know, because it's October. Cops already suffocated a man with their knees while everyone watched and recorded them. Shot a woman in the face while body cam footage was rolling because they were rebuked in the name of Jesus, and even killed a 12-year-old child within 2 seconds of arriving on scene because the kid had a toy gun. Now, what all those people have in common is that they were black, and perhaps that is the point of a police purge night, as Schittler suggested. Because not only is this kind of bullshit a distraction from the embarrassing reason Old Drinks with Two Hands doesn't want to go for round two with Kamala Harris, it is a glimpse into why he and his smoky-eyed sidekick have been attacking almost every black person in America, specifically Haitian immigrants in Springfield. And speaking of the debates, the vice presidential debate happened the day after Von Shits and Pants pitched his purge policy for the police to a crowd of pasty maggots that almost filled up half of an auditorium. And not only did this happen at the vice presidential debate.
Vance, I think this is the conversation they want to hear. And I think there's a lot of agreement. But this is one that we are miles apart on. This was a threat to our democracy in a way that we had not seen. And it manifested itself because of Donald Trump's inability to say. He is still saying he didn't lose the election. I would just ask that. Did he lose the 2020 election?
Tim, I'm focused on the future. Did Kamala Harris censor Americans from speaking their mind in the wake of the 2020 COVID situation?
That is a damning non-answer.
What in the terrible segue is this mascaraed man talking about? Yeah, it's a damning non-answer, especially after just a disappointment Vance had this to say about January 6th and the peaceful transition of power that allegedly happened on January 20th.
On January the 20th, what happened? Joe Biden became the president. Donald Trump left the White House. It's really rich for Democratic leaders to say that Donald Trump is a unique threat to democracy when he peacefully gave over power on January the 20th, as we have done for 250 years in this country.
Oh, is someone going to tell him? I want to tell him. Please let me tell him. Look, couch surfer, your revisionist history is tinfoiled. Okay, so I understand that with your full chest, deadass no cap, you said that your grumpy man of a boss left office in 2020 peacefully. Well, Special Counsel Jack Smith recently unsealed an presidential immunity-free indictment of the former president's involvement in January 6th, determined that that was a lie. Roll tape.
The bombshell court filing just unsealed in the 2020 election case against former President Donald Trump. In it, Special Counsel Jack Smith argues that Trump resorted to crimes after losing the election to Joe Biden. The filing, which runs 165 pages and has a lot of names redacted, also details Trump's actions on January 6th when thousands of his supporters stormed the Capitol as Congress was certifying the election.
Upon receiving a phone call alerting him that Pence had been taken to a secure location, this aide rushed to the dining room to inform the defendant, Donald Trump, in hopes that the defendant would take action to ensure Pence's safety. Instead, after this aide delivered the news, the defendant looked at him and said only, "So what?"
The evidence includes firsthand witness interviews, like when one lawyer told Trump his claims wouldn't hold up in court. And Trump allegedly responded, quote, "The details don't matter."
There's also this new detail. Smith cites an assistant who heard Trump tell family members on Marine One, no less, after the election, quote, "It doesn't matter if you won or lost the election, you still have to fight like hell."
Well, when Jack puts it that way, this is anything but a peaceful transfer of power. More like a desperate attempt by a tiny-handed grifter to cling to power by lying about losing the 2020 election, trying to get state officials to lie about vote counts, and then resorting to amassing a group of poorly educated and heavily armed assholes to fight like hell to stop the certification of the election when his own VP decided he wasn't going to go along with your coup, which they did, at least for a little while. And when every illegal and violent attempt to stay in the White House failed, President Squatter left Washington before the transfer of power started, with some under-the-breath grumbling and a shit ton of classified documents. But I digress. Meanwhile, at the vice presidential debate, America's dad brought up Pucker Vance's lies about Haitians in Springfield for media attention. And the exchange that followed was, mwah, chef's kiss.
We fix this issue with a bill that is necessary. But the issue on this is what happens when you don't want to solve it. You demonize it. And we saw this. And Senator Vance, and it surprises me on this, talking about and saying, I will create stories to bring attention to this. That vilified a large number of people who were here legally in the community of Springfield. Senator Lankford did it. We could come together and solve this if we didn't let Donald Trump continue to make it an issue. And the consequences in Springfield were the governor had to send state law enforcement to escort kindergartners to school.
In Springfield, Ohio, and in communities all across this country, you've got schools that are overwhelmed. You've got hospitals that are overwhelmed. You've got housing that is totally unaffordable because we brought in millions of illegal immigrants to compete with Americans for scarce homes. The people that I'm most worried about in Springfield, Ohio, are the American citizens who have had their lives destroyed by Kamala Harris's open border.
Just to clarify for our viewers, Springfield, Ohio does have a large
number of Haitian migrants who have legal status, temporary protected status.
Well, Margaret,
thank you. Senator, we have so much to get to.
Margaret, I think it's important
because we're going to turn out of the economy. Thank you.
Margaret, the rules were that you guys weren't going to fact check.
Oh, no. What's wrong, surprise chipmunk? You sound more than a bit angry toddler over being called out for lying to the public and putting lives in danger, your constituents' lives, just because you wanted some attention from the media. And if that's true, all you had to do was ask. And by ask, I mean have a conversation with Tons of Oranges, who's weighing down your ticket, because he happens to know a lot about getting media attention. For example, Georgia state rescue officials told the lumbering lardass President Biden and Vice President Harris to stay away from states affected by Hurricane Helene, at least for right now. And when recovery efforts are a little further along, they can stop by for a chat and a tour of the disaster areas. So, of course, the big loser in the polls thought now would be the perfect time to go to Georgia for a post-hurricane photo op and drop some easily debunkable lies about Kamala Harris.
Former President Trump arriving in Georgia with the Christian humanitarian relief organization Samaritan's Purse, trying to make a political issue out of the federal government's response. The former president falsely claiming President Biden had refused to get on the phone with elected officials like Georgia's Republican Governor Brian Kemp.
The governor's doing a very good job. He's having a hard time getting the president on the phone. I guess they're not being responsive. The federal government is not being responsive, but they're having a very hard time getting the president on the phone. He won't get on, and of course the vice president, she's out someplace campaigning, looking for money.
Damn, old man, are you having trouble telling time while also being mentally incompetent? And spoiler alert, this was a problem he's had since birth. So, for those of you in the back, Kamala Harris left her campaign trail to show up in D.C. at FEMA's headquarters on Monday to receive a briefing on Helene's disaster path and the initial recovery efforts. This visit was covered on national television for everyone to see. The Don of Lies arrived for his photo op in Georgia 2 days after that, where he spoke from behind a tiny makeshift wall of bricks made out of what was left of Shea What Furniture store that happened to be destroyed by Helene. Because not only is Fat Nixon completely unaware of himself, he has no grasp on irony. Or facts for that matter. Because Georgia Governor Brian Kemp and President Biden swiftly debunked the Big Lebowski's bullshit about the government's response to Helene in the most public way possible. In front of the press.
Those claims appear to be false because Georgia's Republican Governor Brian Kemp says he has spoken with the president about federal aid.
The president just called me yesterday afternoon. I missed him and called him right back. And he just said, hey, what do you need? And I told him, you know, we got what we need. We'll work through the federal process. He offered that if there's other things we need, just to call him directly, which I appreciate that.
President Biden was asked about Trump's claims during a press briefing in the Oval Office.
He's lying. And the governor told him he was lying. The governor told me he was lying. I've spoken to the governor, spending time with him, and he told me he's lying. I don't know why he does this. And the reason I get so angry about it, I don't care about what he says about me, but I care what he communicates to the people that are in need. He implies that we're not doing everything possible. We are.
And, well, that's the end of that. Donnie lied and was promptly exposed for the lying liar that he is. So now, of course, we can move on to something else, right?
Meanwhile, Trump held his own rally in Michigan yesterday where he spread a new baseless conspiracy theory about hurricane relief funds.
If you want to see how sick and distorted Kamala Harris's priorities are, just consider FEMA. Kamala spent all her FEMA money, billions of dollars, on housing for illegal migrants, including $1 billion for gift cards for illegal aliens and putting them up in luxury hotels. with a gift card to welcome them to America. Now we have a horrific disaster in North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, Tennessee, Florida, and Virginia. That's how big this hurricane was. And the Harris-Biden administration says they don't have any money. They've spent it all on almost no money because they spent it all on illegal migrants.
So you are just not going to quit, are you? You lied about Biden and Harris's response to Helene. And then you lied about Biden not speaking with Georgia's Governor Kemp about Helene and rescue efforts. And now, like a creepy ex who just won't take no for an answer, you are out with a new lie. That FEMA is broke because Kamala Harris spent all their money on gift cards and hotel rooms for immigrants. But since you brought it up, you know, FEMA and their funding, let's go over a few things, you know, for fact's sake. First off, FEMA's disaster relief fund is appropriated by Congress. This fund is where FEMA gets its money to help when disasters strike, and it's up to the House of Representatives to vote for funding to keep this program flush with cash. So if the former oaf in office has a problem, perhaps he shouldn't have directed the Republicans to vote no on funding a bill proposed months ago that included money for FEMA, along with Ukraine and Israel. Or maybe the House Republicans who voted against $20 billion going to FEMA in preparation for Helene's visit probably shouldn't have done that. Fucknuts like Slenderman Scott and 12 Head Gates and token Byron Donalds from Florida, Roger No Money for My Constituents Williams, and Timmy Burchett from Tennessee, Dan the Man Without a Plan Bishop from North Carolina, and Mike Let Them Drown Collins from Georgia, just to name a few. Now, in the here and now, this blatant disregard for their constituents' lives looks like insanity, especially when every seat in the House is up for re-election this year. But when you understand what Project 2025 wants to do with the governmental agency responsible for tracking and forecasting storms like hurricanes, defunding FEMA starts to make terrifying sense.
National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the federal agency rather, provides free daily weather forecasts, severe storm warnings, climate change research, and more through its six main offices. Those include the National Weather Service. Project 2025 does include a proposal to dismantle the agency. In the chapter of the plan's book in the Department of Commerce, the author writes, NOAA's focus on climate change gets in the way of its useful functions and should change or charge, rather, for its information.
So what if the next time there was a deadly hurricane or tornado, you had to pay to find out if it was going to pass over your house? Project 2025 wants to do just that, because making us pay to find out if our weekends are washed out or not is literally on pages 664, 674, 675, and, well, you get the picture. And with the climate crisis continuing to make dangerous weather events a regular thing, do you really think you're going to have time to hit purchase in the middle of a flash flood?
Okay, this is some old bullshit, because every American taxpayer already pays for that information. About $4 per person, right the fuck now, through NOAA. What Project 2025 wants to do is to keep the hundreds of millions we're already spending to get accurate weather updates delivered to us for no additional cost, and then double dip by charging us a subscription to a private company who's getting their weather information from the government agency taxpayers are already funding. Meanwhile, Eric Stad is out there trying to pin the lie about the response to Hurricane Helene squarely on Vice President Kamala Harris because, like any MAGAdite does, he's fucking stupid. And apparently this stupidity is contagious. Because just like a Dumas, who failed high school civics class, Buttplug Vance said this at the vice presidential debate with the confidence of a Karen complaining about customer service.
A lot of what Kamala Harris proposes to do, and some of it, I'll be honest with you, it even sounds pretty good. Here's what you won't hear, is that Kamala Harris has already done it. Because she's been the vice president for 3.5 years. She had the opportunity to enact all of these great policies. And what she's actually done instead is drive the cost of food higher by 25%, drive the cost of housing higher by about 60%, open the American southern border and make middle class life unaffordable for a large number of Americans. If Kamala Harris has such great plans for how to address middle class problems, then she ought to do them now, not when asking for a promotion, but in the job the American people gave her 3.5 years ago. And the fact that she isn't tells you a lot about how much you can trust her actual plans.
Oh, no, no, no. It doesn't tell us jack shit about that. What it tells us is that you failed high school civics. What in the actual fuck is this hillbilly reject doing? Trying to be vice president when he clearly has absolutely no idea what the job entails. Clearly, Captain Cushions is punching way above his weight, thinking he could do a job he knows nothing about. So for this garbage pail kid and the rest of you in the back, here's Marcus Johnson, a student at Oakland University who not only attended his high school civics class, but actually paid attention to explain the role of a vice president.
We were talking, Marcus, about this constant criticism about the vice president not being able, about the vice president being in office for these last, he's already upset about it. The vice president being in office for all these years and not being able to make the change was the allegation from J.D. Vance. You said to me, I've been to high school civics class. Why did you say that?
Because if anybody took high school civics class, they'd know what the vice president can do and what the vice president can do. I want to make a quick point. Neither candidate on that stage talked about what executive action they're going to take on day one to do what they want, nor were they asked because they know that they can't. That's not how the vice presidency works. You don't get to do what you want. You do what the president delegates you to do.
And if there's anybody out there, I invite you to play that clip for your poorly educated friends and family who obviously, like J.D. Vance, failed high school civics. Even my ninth grader knows the vice president has basically two functions, and neither of them have anything to do with creating or enacting policy. Period. All the Veep does is break a vote tie in the Senate and step in if the president dies. And that is according to our Constitution. Aside from that, a vice president can rally and promote the president's agenda or go on diplomatic missions if the president tells them to. Otherwise, they're hanging out waiting for something to do. A job you'd think Ohio's favorite homosexual would be qualified for, but alas, may not get the chance to become if America has a free and fair election. Because the way it looks right now, as I have talked about in previous shows, Trumpty Dumpty is planning on stealing the 2024 election. For example, he recently paired his sock puppet sidekick with a real-life witchfinder general named Lance Wallnew, who's got his sights set on Kamala Harris.
When you've got somebody operating in manipulation, intimidation, and domination, especially when it's in a female role, trying to emasculate a man, you're dealing with the Jezebel spirit. So with Kamala, you have a Jezebel spirit, a characteristic in the Bible, that is the personification of intimidation, seduction, domination, and manipulation. She can look presidential, and that's, we'll go to this later, that's the seduction of what I would say is witchcraft.
Oh, yes. Because when polls, crowd sizes, and the continuous wave of support from Republicans who haven't been magnetized points to Kamala Harris winning this election. They call her a witch. And how appropriate for the season. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sundays at 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. You can follow This Week Again on social media wherever you can find us, and we are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, or basically wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadar for now.